My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. What if you could awaken every morning and embrace a plan for the day that will lift your inner clouds and reveal your radiant self? How would this approach change your latitude and attitude and move you forward with positive intention, confidence, and self-love? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Kelly Sullivan Walden, has dreamed up a wonderful book that will guide you to plug into your higher consciousness, level up how you treat yourself and others, and remember who you are, why you're here, and how to fulfill your covenant for being on the planet at this exceptional time. Known as Dr. Dream, Kelly is on a mission to awaken the world to the power of dreams. Known as America's premier dream expert and the love child of Carl Jung and Lucille Ball, she's the number one best-selling author of I Had the Strangest Dream, and It's All in Your Dreams, and many, many others. She's also a certified clinical hypnotherapist, inspirational speaker, and media personality. Her website is kellysullivanwalden.com, and she joins me this week to share her path and her new amazing best-selling Amazon book, Luminous Humanus, 365 ways to go, grow, and glow to make this your best year yet. Please join me in welcoming back to Destination Unlimited, Kelly Sullivan Walden. Welcome back, Kelly.
Wow. What an introduction. What a joy. I feel like I must be dreaming. I must pinch myself. I just got vaccinated, so that was quite a pinch. So that lets me know I'm in this world. But wow, you are so heavenly. Thank you, Victor, the Voice Furman. You just get one more wonderful as time marches on. Thank
Kelly,
you for allowing me to be back.
Thank you. I can't believe that it's been 5 years since you last joined me on Destination Unlimited. That's crazy.
I know. Well, on a parallel plane, we're talking every day. We're exploring. It's just, this is all just crazy and relative. I can't believe it's been 5 years in this world.
5 years, absolutely. April of 2016. That was the last time you were on.
So many lifetimes have happened since then.
Literally.
We've got a lot of catching up to do on this
Literally.
Plane.
Absolutely. So for our listeners meeting you for the first time, please share your early path and how you became Dr. Dream.
Oh, wow. Okay. So wow. It's always a different story each time because I always come to this a little bit differently. I started off, as most kids do, dreaming vividly and remembering dreams pretty well. I think what propelled me on my path was the fact that I had a partner in crime or in shine, however you want to put it. My younger sister, Shannon, a year and a half younger than I, she and I would remember dreams. We would have tandem dreaming experiences and every morning look forward to talking about dreams because it was such a lively landscape that we could both relate to. We had both been in. Often we would share dreamscapes and realize that we had been in the same dream at the same time. So that just added an intensity to this thing called dreams that we all have. And most kids are vivid dreamers and vivid rememberers of their dreams. I just happened to have a playmate. So I think it just took it up a notch. And that was my life until I was in my 20s. I went to Hollywood and was an actress for a while, did some fun things, had a little piece on ER and a little stint in a movie with Clint Eastwood and a bunch of things that were fun. But my attention became very externally based. And during that time, I really didn't pay much attention to my dreams. And as a result, I had a quarter life breakdown where I really felt disconnected from myself. I didn't want to be on the planet anymore. I couldn't imagine my life having any value. And I didn't die. I didn't take myself out. But that moment of deep despair propelled the deep ache that has been with me kind of since then, that has propelled my spiritual path, my deep seeking and wanting to understand the nature of why we're here and what it's all about, Alfie, and what do we do with this? And in the process of me getting on my spiritual path and meeting all manner of spiritual guides and teachers, I started to get my dreams back. They came back, though, with a vengeance, because what you suppress must express. So I started to really have a lot of nightmares. I went into therapy, and I had a great therapist who told me that not to despair about my nightmares, but to look at them like they were a gift to unpack, and that nightmares are unfinished dreams, and that it was up to me to be the director of my dream and to have a say in how the unpacking and the completing of the dreams would go. So that I became a certified clinical hypnotherapist soon thereafter, and as a hypnotherapist, so that's been about 30 years now. And that as a profession, I would work with clients in their subconscious mind, meaning according to the American Hypnosis Association, our conscious mind is at best 12% of our mind's power, whereas our subconscious dreaming mind is about 88%. And working with clients focusing on the subconscious mind, I marveled at how the therapy would progress, especially when clients would share their dreams with me. So that just became a focus within a focus. Dreams became my tarot cards, my yoga, my thing, because I found that when somebody shared a dream with me, the world opened up. I could see where their problems were, where their challenges were, and I could see what the solutions might be and help people. So that was my path. And I wrote my first dream book in 2002. And that was called I Had the Strangest Dream, The Dreamer's Dictionary for the 21st Century. As soon as that book came on the market, everything in my life became completely dream-centric, and people started to seek me out for dream work and dream workshops, and then more book deals came, and I've written now 11 books in the dream space. This book that I've just recently written, Luminous Humanness, is actually the first book out of 10 books that doesn't have dreams in the title, but it's related. It's kind of the progression of dream work is you get to a place where you get on higher ground. But I've written two Chicken Soup for the Soul books as a co-author and curator of the 101 Stories and Chicken Soup for the Soul, Dreams and Premonitions and Dreams and the Unexplainable, and several other books. It's All in Your Dreams, I would say, is the Bible of all the things that I believe to be true about dreams. When people ask me what is the number one book they should read of mine, it's All in Your Dreams. And that brings me basically to you at this moment, Victor. My dreams have led me to you.
and we're going to talk more about those other books in a little bit. But just, you had mentioned tandem dreaming. How rare is that?
Yeah, it's very rare. It's most of the time when we dream, if we do see somebody that we know in a dream, we will compare notes with them, and 99% of the time they're simply flattered that we dreamed about them, but they don't have a recollection of being in that dream space with us, and they probably weren't. It's rare. It's common-ish among twins, but it's still a rare phenomenon. So I consider myself lucky. And as a result of this practice, my sister Shannon and I have a very deep, deep, deep karmic relationship and a closeness. Even though at this exact moment in time, we're having one of our very rare moments of time and space and separation from each other, but there's still a very powerful psychic bond. So, I mean, it's not necessarily something you can just create, although I lead dream workshops. And during the workshops, we will have a very strong intention for what we're dreaming about. Or if a member of the group is going through something difficult, I'll ask everybody to dream intentionally on behalf of that person. And we'll often find parallels in the dreams where we're in similar dreamscapes or experiencing similar things. So you can get better at that if you work intentionally with people.
You call yourself the love child of Carl Jung and Lucille Ball. I understand that, but tell our listeners why.
Well, I love the idea. I was actually at dinner with my publicist, and he was talking to me kind of about my brand, and we were talking about my books and all that stuff. And he said, you know, Kelly, you're such a goofball. You're not just so serious. You're not just like the Carl Jung of dreams. You know, you're more like Lucille Ball. And my husband was like, yeah, you are. Cause I mean, I'm not always silly, but I do definitely have a very goofy, slapstick-ish side to me where, I mean, I love to laugh and find the humor in things, and I can just kind of go on that. I could go and not stop. And some of my friends bring that out more than others. But so it was Steve Allen Media. I'll give him a little shout out. He was the one that said, you're kind of like the love child of Carl Jung and Lucille Ball. And we all just laughed hysterically. And from that moment on, that kind of became a thing that I added to my my bio. And it seems like it's something that gives everyone a little tickle. Because dreams can seem so serious and kind of from the neck up. And, you know, it doesn't have to be so serious. We can have a lot of fun with the silliness of dreams.
That is wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. So we talked about your dream dictionaries. Tell us about I Had the Strangest Dream.
I Had the Strangest Dream is the subtitle is The Dreamer's Dictionary for the 21st Century. That was my very first book that came as a result of my agent actually coming, my literary agent asking me about her dreams. And I would give her my perspective on what I thought certain symbols meant. And in the world of dreams and dream workers, it's a big no-no to write a dream dictionary. So there's some people that look at me with a little bit of scorn, like, you're not supposed to tell anybody what their dreams mean. But I realized that most people, if they don't have some kind of a guide to interpret dreams, they will more often than not discard them and leave like gold in the trash. And from my perspective, it's better to have a dictionary with, of course, the disclaimer being, this is not the be-all, end-all of what your dream absolutely means. It's meant to be a crutch. It's meant to be a tool to get you thinking symbolically about your dream so that eventually you don't need this book. Eventually, you go from having a dream dictionary as being so important to your dream journal being way more important to you than your dream dictionary. But the dream dictionary can sometimes be a symbolic way of thinking until your own ability to do that kicks in. So I've got over 3,000 common 21st century and common dream symbols defined in that book. It's very short and sweet. A lot of people think that's their favorite of all my books, the most user-friendly of them all. They use it religiously. So that's kind of the essence of that book.
My wife, Lori, Sue, and I welcomed you to our podcast, Love and Romance Radio, several years ago, and we discussed your love, sex, and relationship dream dictionary. What can our dreams tell us about romantic lives?
Oh, yeah. Well, I like, just like you and your wife, love is an important topic to you. And to me, it is as well. It's dreams are, they're a means to an end. Our dreams aren't the thing itself. They're the finger pointing at the moon. It's not the moon itself. Dreams are a tool for us to become better people, better related to one another. And our dreams, if we are relationship minded, which let's face it, we all are, even if we claim to be lone wolves out there, we all are related to people. Our dreams are cast with people from our past, people from our future, people that we're in conflict with, people that we love, that we aspire to be more like. And this particular dream dictionary focuses on the lens of interpretation through the perspective of how is this dream and dream symbol helping you to become better acclimated and adapted in the realm of relationship, romantic relationship.
The last time you joined me, we discussed It's All in Your Dreams. What may listeners find in that book that will guide them on their paths?
So in this book, It's All in Your Dreams, I talk about the five portals to learning about your dreams and to understanding dreams. And I use the word dream as an acronym for the elements that are, to me, most important. So D-R-E-A-M. And those are basically the five sections of this book. So D is about dream declaration. It's all about how to set yourself up before you go to sleep. Some people call this dream incubation. I call it dream declaration because it's about having a really strong intention for what you want your dreams to help you with before you go to sleep. And that intention is also, that declaration is also about remembering dreams upon awakening. The R is all the different ways to remember dreams, because most people know that they're having dreams, but typically if they're lucky, they'll remember maybe one and that's about it. And maybe once a week, it's not even a common theme. So I talk about all the different ways and techniques and foods to eat and vitamins to eat to help to build up your ability to, on a regular basis, recall your dreams, to amplify your dream recall. The E is for the emotion, the feeling of the dream, and how to embody the emotion of the dream in order to get the most juice from the dream. And then the DREA is for activation, all the different ways to bring your dream into life, not just leave it kind of in the etheric realm, but how to do practical things with your dream in order to get the most bang for the buck, so to speak. And then M is for mastermind, which is another word for how to bring dream work to a group in order to amplify the energy and the insight and the wisdom of your dreams.
You also mentioned that you co-authored two wonderful books, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Dreams and Premonitions, and Dreams and the Unexplainable. Are there some dreams in these categories you can share with us?
Oh, yeah. There's so many great, great, great ones. So let's see, because you brought up love and relationships, one of the dream stories in this. So if you're familiar with the Chicken Soup for the Soul model, every Chicken Soup for the Soul book contains 101 very short and sweet transformational, inspirational stories. And these are all stories that are related to dreams and premonitions, or dreams and the unexplainable, which is kind of, you know, that's its own. I'll talk about that in a moment. But in these books, we went through thousands of dreams to pick the 101 stories that went in each. A couple of them are mine, but one of the stories that I think is so exciting is, this one woman who, it's kind of a long story. I'll try to make it short and sweet. It's just fantastic. Talk about tandem dreaming. So this woman in her 20s, she was backpacking through Europe, and she was in Switzerland. Somehow she slipped and fell, and she twisted her ankle and ended up at a hospital. The doctor who attended her, she and he had this cosmic connection. He was older than she was, but they just had this wonderful connection. He was married. She was way too young for him, but it was a connection that was indelible for her. So she came back to the States and soon thereafter got married, had kids, had a long marriage. Her kids were grown. Finally, her husband passed away after many years of marriage. Her kids were well established on their own, and she found herself with a very empty nest and started to have dreams about this doctor that she had met 40 years in the past. And these dreams progressively were becoming more vivid. And finally, the last dream that she had about this man was she was in her kitchen with him, and it was like they were having coffee together. It was very natural. And there was a woman in the kitchen who was pushing her toward the doctor, and she could see the woman very vividly. And she just thought, okay, that's it. I just need to see if he's still alive, Steve. See, like, let's, I just want to see what's going on with him. So she called the hospital that he worked at, and she caught him on his last day before retiring. So he was up there in age, but he happened to get the phone. He got the call, and they talked on the phone, and he said that his wife had just recently passed around the same time that her husband passed. And yes, he was an empty nester as well. His kids had long gotten their own lives together. And he described, when she asked what his wife looked like, he described exactly what the woman looked like who was in the kitchen. She told him about her, and that was like the permission that they needed. And he flew to her, to the U.S., because he was suddenly retired. He had time on his hands, and they ended up getting married and living happily ever after for many years after, until he passed away. But they had about 15 beautiful years together. And if it weren't for those very vivid dreams, they wouldn't have had this magical romance. It was so beautiful.
What a blessing. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And there's 100 other stories just as good, just as wonderful.
My guest this week, Kelly Sullivan Walden. We're talking about her new book, Luminous Humanous, 365 Ways to Go, Grow, and Glow to Make This Your Best Year Yet. Kelly, please tell our listeners where they can get the book and find out more about you.
Oh my goodness, thank you. So the book is available right now wherever digital books are sold. I'm hoping that at some point they'll be available in bookstores. Wouldn't that be great when bookstores start to open again?
Amen.
But amen, hallelujah, and pass the mashed potatoes. Yes, there right now it's on Amazon. It's an Amazon.com bestseller. Yay. Barnes and Noble. And wherever people like to buy their books online. I heard that Walmart.com picked it up, and I think Costco picked it up as well. So hopefully hard copies will be in those places as well. And I believe your other question was, what was your other question besides where can people get it?
Your website, I guess.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. My website is my name, KellySullivanWalden.com. And if that's too hard to spell, you can go to IHadTheStrangestDream.com, and that'll take you to the same place.
And we'll be back with more of Kelly after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going OM? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Kelly Sullivan Walden. We're talking about her new book, Luminous Humanous, 365 Ways to Go, Grow, and Glow to Make This Your Best Year Yet. Kelly, I have to give you congratulations. Your book just came out, and it's already an Amazon bestseller. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. This book is very special to me. I've had it percolating for many years, and the phrase luminous humanness has been something my husband and I have bantered about, and it was just a very special book to have the privilege to write. I have to give a shout out to my publisher Blue Angel. When I first told Tony Carmine, I shared with him, Tony Carmine Salerno, when I first shared it with him, he said, "That's it. We're doing that book. You don't even," I just told him the title. And he's like, "That's it. Whatever you want to do, do it. That title's enough. You got me." And just the writing of it was so uplifting and empowering, especially during COVID, when the world was going to hell in a handbasket, all over the news with the election and all of this. I would be working for hours and hours in the day inside of the realm of this book, and I would just be high. It's almost like a drug, like a really good drug with no side effects. And I almost didn't want to be done with the book and hand it over, because I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to sustain that energy. But I think enough of it imprinted that it's with me, but it feels really special to me. So thank you so much for being supportive and interested in this. It means a lot to me that you would be.
Absolutely. And I think your message is so important. You had mentioned that this has actually been in works for a while. What inspired the book?
There's a couple different stories that I talk about with this. I had a death experience in 2008, and I call it a death experience. We don't know if I actually died or not, but we could say I was passed out and my pulse was virtually non-existent. I was on a gurney. I had an ambulance. People were slapping me, trying to bring me back. And I was off, tripping the light fantastic on the other side of heaven in bliss, having a download of all the answers to all things I'd ever wanted to know, and then some, just feeling the love of this universe lifting me higher, higher, higher. I've never in my life had such a consistent and strong feeling of the love of the universe. And it really, I mean, in meditations, I would have peak moments like that. Some dreams would be blissful and I would touch that realm, but never for so long. This was about a 15-minute experience of me being checked out, but it felt eternal. And when I came back, and that's the short version of it, is I pulled myself back because I knew somehow that the people left behind were not going to be well, and they wouldn't hear me. I was trying to communicate to them to not be sad, to not worry about me, that I was fine, but they were not getting it. To them, it was 911. It was just like the worst moment in their lives. And I thought, how could this be? I need them to understand. Like, I need permission from them to go. If I'm going to have all this bliss, I can't leave these people in such despair. So I pulled myself back into the density of this realm. But there was aspects of it that I feel like have never left me. There, it's like I got drenched in another world that's actually a world that we're all connected to, but there's droplets of it that are still on me, and I can still tap into that place and call on it. And that's the place that I wrote this book from. I would meditate on how I felt in that space and then let the words come flying through. There was another moment that was actually years before this, that I was having a really difficult time. My spirits were kind of low, and I was going on a walk through the woods where I live, calling on God, like trying to actually lift myself up to a higher place, having a bit of an existential crisis. And it wasn't working. Normally, a good walk would always be something that could shift me out of a funk and lift me up, but it wasn't happening. And I got mad. I was yelling at God, and I was saying, "Why do I always have to come to you? Why don't you come to me? Like, why don't you come down from your holier than thou perch and come to me?" And so I kind of had a tantrum, a spiritual tantrum. "You come to me." And I all of a sudden, in that moment, I stopped on my walk, and an elk charged across the path. Like, it would have run me over, had the big antlers and the, and it was like, and it, whoa, it shook me out of my funk. And all of a sudden I felt filled up with grace, like something, I just felt grace. And I felt that the luminous had entered my humanness. That phrase came to me right then. And when I came home, I shared that phrase with my husband. He was in a recording session with a bunch of musicians, and everyone just, they heard the phrase luminous humanness, and it transmitted. It's like everybody kind of got that there was encoded in this, these two words. It was like a bridge between heaven and earth. And we all just kind of blissed out on that. And ever since then, that's been kind of a phrase I've played with. And then, of course, when I had my death experience, it was like, that was it. I got to bring that luminosity into my humanness. And that, to me, I think is the goal of why we're here. It's not necessarily to prove to anyone anything, or to get the house, to get the girl, to get the guy, to do anything, but it's to see how much of our natural luminosity we can contain in this construct called a body, a humanity, a life, our human experience. So that's what luminous humanness means to me. That was a long answer to a short question.
It's a wonderful answer, and I've recently interviewed others who have had near-death experiences, and they have been life-changing. When you come back, what you bring with you totally changes your perspective on everything.
Correct. And I, right after I had this experience, I mean, it was about 2 weeks, I ran into Danyon Brinkley, who you may know. Mm-hmm. He's somebody who's had very extensive near-death experiences, and he's written many books about his experiences. And he told me, most people can access what we accessed on the other side. They can access it here. You don't have to die to get it. You don't have to go through something. So you don't have to nearly lose your life in order to tap into that realm. He said it's for those who are a little more dense. So he included me in that. I thought, oh, okay. He and I are just a little more dense, where our guides needed to really shake us up and really show us what is available for everyone. So to me, I think if you're more attuned, you can tap into that realm with just a little tap on the shoulder, or you can read a page in a book and absorb it and go and have that high in the sky heavenly experience without having to have a heart attack or do harm to your physical body. So I think most people, if anybody's listening to this, people that are drawn to you, Victor, I think are right there. They're in that more subtle place that they don't have to go dying to get this message. They can have it right here, right now.
Absolutely. Coming off the challenges of 2020, which still face us, how may we use what you offer in Luminous Humanists to turn things around and make this the best year yet?
Oh, thank you. I think it really only matters when things are challenging. It's like anyone can have a good day when everything's going your way, when the sun's shining, when you got extra money that just showed up in your bank account, when your loved one is looking you in the eyes, telling you you're the best thing ever. It doesn't take much to feel good during those moments. So to me, it really counts when the chips are down, when we're challenged. If we can take those moments of challenge as opportunities to step outside of time and pop into this parallel plane. I'm just calling it a parallel plane called luminous humanness. It's available all the time. And if we can do that during a difficult time, then I feel like we really earn our spiritual muscles. And I feel like when we earn them, we have them and we can really draw on them afterward. It's possible. So this is where the dream work kind of comes in, because in a dream, it's a parallel reality. It's not just a dream. It's not just a flight of fantasy that doesn't have merit or doesn't have matter. It does matter. It is a reality. And this way that we could be, let's just call it our higher self, our most enlightened way of being, is accessible all the time. And in fact, I mean, think about, like, I just saw a preview of a documentary about Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama, and it's about their deep friendship. And one of the questions that they were both asked is, "You two are enlightened souls. Like, you're happy, and you live the spiritual way, and you've both been through, like Desmond Tutu lived through apartheid and through death threats and so much mayhem, and the Dalai Lama was kicked out of his country, and so many of his people have been slaughtered, and like, how can he find something to smile about? Like, it's almost unthinkable." And yet the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu said, it's because we can. There is a place where we can all tap into joy that is outside of time. It's outside of circumstance. It isn't circumstance dependent. In fact, we all know that that people that have all the right things happening. In fact, they say in Beverly Hills, California, there are more depressed people than any other place on the planet. So it's not our outer circumstances that determine our happiness. It is our inner state, and we have to go for it. It's a muscle that if we don't build, it's not necessarily going to build itself. Although some people have maybe a little bit of an easier leg up in that area. I'm a naturally buoyant person, and yet I've had my bouts with depression. So I feel like we have to build our muscle. We've got to do our part of the equation, but it's absolutely possible to make our home in heaven, even while we are absolutely here on this planet. It's our mandate, I believe.
And in Luminous Humanus, you say 365 ways to go. Give us an example of some of the daily offerings you have in the book.
Okay, I will. I wrote because I've got family and friends, and I would think about them with each day of the year. So my sister just had her birthday on the 7th of April, and a lot of people have been commenting on that particular day. Every day I think is a good day. There's not one bummer page in the book, but this one seems to be the centerpiece of the entire book. So this is from April 7th. This is called The Bearable Lightness of Being. When you come upon a person who is so wonderful that they blow your circuits, or an opportunity so incredible you fear it might be too good to be true, or you bump into an unexpected windfall of blessings, just breathe and allow yourself to melt into its embrace. Though you may be temporarily blinded by the light, know that you are becoming acclimated and strengthened so that you will be able to bear this level of high vibe living. Affirmation. As I develop my spiritual stamina, this heavenly state will one day be my baseline.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Would you share January 17th?
I would love to. I would love to. Is that your birthday?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Let's do it. Okay. And before I even get to it, some of these have kind of in it, like a little bit of challenge solution, like how to move a challenge through. And every month has a theme. So January is kind of about setting intentions for the new year. February is about love and romance. March has a theme of like persistence and marching through. And November is about Thanksgiving and gratitude. So there's a theme that goes with each one. So here, January 17th, hold on one sec. I just have to have a little sip of my tea. Here we go. January 17th. Behold this freshly minted moment. Be willing to drop all your crystallized belief systems. Stand on the precipice of this infinite moment, because this new now is delivering a brand new batch of awareness beyond what you've ever known. Let go of the past. allow it to become a speck on the distant horizon. Stretch your arms out wide to embrace the majesty of this freshly minted moment delivered right to the doorstep of your heart, right here, right now. Affirmation: I am fully present, ready to receive the miracles available to me now.
That is the best birthday gift I have ever received in my entire life. And your beautiful voice, it just makes it so special. So thank you for that.
You're so welcome. And I had you in mind, even if I didn't consciously know it while I was writing it.
Well, thank you. Her book, Luminous Humanous, 365 Ways to Go, Grow, and Glow to Make This Your Best Year Yet. We'll be back with more of Kelly after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help me get back to doing the things I love, like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Kelly Sullivan Walden. We're talking about her latest book, Luminous Humanous, 365 Ways to Go, Grow, and Glow to Make This Your Best Year Yet. Kelly, 2020 has been a really difficult year, obviously, for so many. Has it changed the way we dream or the content of our dreams?
That's for sure. There's been a lot of research on this. Dr. Deidre Barrett has been somebody who's been in the media a lot lately, a Harvard dream worker and hypnotherapist that is somebody who's I've gotten to the privilege of interviewing. And she's recorded thousands of people with pandemic dreams, COVID-19 dreams. And there seems to be an overabundance of people being chased in their dreams, lots of bugs showing up, and bugs being a metaphor for bugs getting sick, catching a bug, a disease. And in some way, it seems like we are, as a species, we are survival oriented, and our dreams are helping us to work through the difficulty of this time. And in some way, because, well, I'll get personal for a moment. And I know that I'm not alone in this. For the last year, we've been told to not hug people, And if you're somebody like me who is a big hugger, that's been hard. And a lot of people have shared dreams with me, and a lot of mine have been about not being able to hug people, or being about to hug somebody and then being zapped by a lightning bolt or something really bad happening, or finding that I'm about to hug, but I find out I'm on roller skates and I'm about to fall over. It's like this message, don't hug. Like, you have to learn this, because otherwise it could not be well for you. Our dreams are helping us to adapt to a very difficult situation emotionally as well. I've talked to some people now on the upside. This is one. So our dreams are helping us, I think, adapt to the difficulty, but they're also giving us an outlet, because we've been homebound for a year. And for some who really have found a sense of pleasure and dopamine in travel and haven't been able to, it's been difficult for them. But in dreams, a lot of people have dreamt about traveling, and they've gotten to travel. They've gotten to go to all manner of places and hug all manner of people and do things that they couldn't do in waking life in their dreams. So if we let, I always talk to people about this, if our dreams are doing so much of the work for us, we don't have to pay attention to them, just like we don't have to be aware of our breathing in order to benefit from it. We don't have to pay attention to our dreams in order to benefit from our dreams. However, when we do pay attention to our dreams and we're able to close the loop from the subconscious to the conscious, we have that much more ability to, it's like we're bringing an extra layer of intuition and guidance and coping mechanisms and resources to our lives, so that we can have more calm and peace and presence in the life that we have. So that's another long answer to a short question. Yes, our dreams are different with the pandemic, and I think they're kind of leveling out a little, but they have reflected the times that we've lived in, and that's for sure.
I share with you missing hugging. My late mother taught us to hug heart to heart, and that's the way I've always hugged. I miss being able to do that with friends. You know, obviously with immediate family at home, we can do that, but missing that with friends. So absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully soon. You know, yeah. Yes, I'm feeling the nearness of that.
And a lot of people have lost loved ones and are grieving not only the loss of loved ones, but grieving the loss of the way that we lived. Is grieving manifesting in dreams?
Oh, my heavens. Yes. And in fact, okay, so one of my best friends died this year. She died of cancer. It wasn't COVID. But one of the ways that I've coped with losing this very dear person to me is the dreams that I've gotten to have with her. And it's almost like there's nothing better than a dream about somebody that we love to help to heal our hearts. And yes, it can be difficult. Yes, it can bring up the feelings of loss and missing that person. But often those are the dreams that mark exponential healing with our hearts. And it doesn't mean that we're meant to be in a race to get over someone or to move through our grief as fast as possible. But we don't want to stay in suffering any longer than we have to. And I can just speak from experience. I've had so many dreams of my friend Gypsy, and every dream I have with her makes me feel like my soul is still connected to her. It's affirming. It gives me a little window inside what she must be experiencing on the other side. And then I get to share that with family and friends who are close to her. And it's like the blessing multiplies. So I think getting to dream about those people is one of the fastest ways that we can move through our suffering and get to the other side of feeling more at peace. And I do think we are grieving our old way of living. And I think our dreams do help us to bridge the gap. They're always, I mean, if we look at our dreams, no matter how difficult our dreams might feel, if we know for a fact that they are operating on behalf of our health, healing, and wholeness, we'll interpret whatever that dream is that we're having from that perspective. And then we can more easily get the message and the gold from that dream. And if we're left feeling unsettled by the dream, some people have had, they've been really depressed. I mean, suicide numbers have gone up. This has been a very difficult time for some people, and some people aren't wanting to dream. They're kind of trying to push the dreams away because they've been unpleasant. But I always tell people, if you're having an unpleasant dream, especially during this time, remember, just as that therapist told me many years ago, you are the director of your dream. A nightmare is an unfinished dream, and it's yours to pick up where it left off and give it an ending in your mind, in your imagination, that does satisfy you, that brings you to a higher place. And you can actually transform, just like you can transform the raw ingredients of snake venom. You can turn it into anti-venom. You can turn it into the very medicine that heals you. That's possible in our dreams. I have an example of that. I don't know if there's time for it, but if there is, I'd love to share it.
Go ahead, please.
So I've had, personally, I've had a lot of dreams of being chased by wolves. So Clarissa Pinkola Estes wrote a book called Women Who Run With the Wolves. You may be familiar with that book, Victor. Mm-hmm. I've threatened that I might write a book called Women Who Run From the Wolves, because that's been more of my experience. But I had one not that long ago that was absolutely terrifying, being chased by not just a small pack of wolves, but by a stadium full of wolves. So it was clearly the dreams trying to get my attention. And I woke up from that dream absolutely terrified and not feeling well. And so I had to practice what I preach. And I went back into the dream through a meditation that took me back into that sleeping, dreaming realm where I was back in the grips of that dream. And I decided to press the fast forward button, knowing that if I could just make it to the end of the dream, I would be empowered, because the nightmare is an unfinished dream. The finish of the dream is always transformation. So in the fast forward, like through a time-lapse lens, I went through the process of being devoured by this stadium full of wolves, Victor.
Oh my goodness.
And I come out the other end, not dead, not just in bits and pieces, but I am a wolf woman myself. I become this wolf woman that becomes like the mother of all of these wolves. And I am one of them. And they are my allies. And they stretch out to my right and left as far as the eye can see. And they've all got my back. And I've got their back. And we are together. And here's a little thing that I've not told anybody except for you and my husband. In the cover of Luminous Humanness, the artist Josephine Walls, there's a picture of a wolf inside of a bubble that's like inside the headdress of the woman that's on the cover of the book. It's a beautiful, beautiful cover. So I picked that image because of that wolf being right there inside her. So I don't know if nobody else has seen it, because there's so many details to this image that's on the cover. But to me, that it's very specific, this wolf woman aspect. And when I think about that dream now, it is the most empowering dream I could ever imagine having. I feel so grounded, powerful, and talk about confidence. Who's going to mess with me if I've got 1,000 wolves to my right and left? I feel like, come on, I can play now. Now I can have a good time. So we can do that with our dreams. We go in and finish it however our creative faculties allow us to, and then freeze frame on that last image that is empowering. And then that's what we can take with us. And I hope that the people, if anybody's listening who's having a difficult time with nightmares, that they pick up that practice, and it helps to transform them.
And to paraphrase Maria Aspenskaya, speaking to Lon Chaney Jr. in The Werewolves of London, My daughter, even the woman who's pure of heart and says her prayers by night, may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the moon is full and bright.
Wow, that was gorgeous. I'm so glad that was recorded. I'm going to play that over and over again.
Woo! Kelly, we have a couple of minutes left. You offer a lot of wonderful things on your website, kellysullivanwalden.com. Please share about the things that you offer. For example, you have daily offerings you have the Awakened Dreamer Masterclass and Oracle Cards.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes. I've got all manner of workshops. And so the most recent thing that I've got, yes, I have the Awakened Dreamer Masterclass. So I have an oracle deck that came out a few months ago called the Awakened Dreamer Oracle. And if you purchase that, there's a workshop that I teach with Rasuli, who's the artist on that deck. And he's gorgeous. His work is so transformational. That's a whole other story. So Rasuli is a wolf. He's like he calls himself a rogue and a libertine, and he's a master painter. And so we kind of do a mashup of my work and his work together in this workshop, and that's all available in the Sweet Dreams shop on my website. You could go to kellysullivanwalden.com and look up in the corner and you click on shop, and that's where you can find that. Also, my latest workshop that I'm really excited about is called Dreamifesting. And this is for people, yeah, oh, I like that sound. I think this is right up your alley, Victor. This is from the perspective of people who want to manifest things in their lives, who have goals and intentions, and they just want their dreams to do the heavy lifting for them. It doesn't mean we're lazy. It doesn't mean we're not hard workers. It just means that we really want to let our subconscious mind do most of the work for us so we can have more fun in our waking lives. So this Dreamifesting workshop is a series of different meditations that I have for people to be able to give the bulk of the work to your dreams. And it's a way to set yourself up before you go to sleep and when you wake up in the morning so that you can actually see quick, rapid, efficient progress in being able to more magically, masterfully unfold the life of your dreams without having to break a sweat.
Kelly Sullivan Walden, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your luminous humanness.
Thank you, Victor, the voice Furman. This has been such a wonderful, wonderful moment and part of the celebration of my launch party for Luminous Humanness, getting to be with you. I am so grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you to you and your consciousness and your big heart and your generous space that you provide and that lovely voice of yours. Thank you for sharing with me.
Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.